This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. Wahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana zidna ilma. Today, inshallah, we will review Al-Qadr. And then we will move on to the next topic. Al-Qadr and Al-Qadha. What are they? What is Al-Qadr? I'm asking you. Yes. Decree, divine decree. Okay. Al-Qadha, what is that? Raise your hand, please. What is Al-Qadha?
It's the fulfillment and execution of that decree.
Good. Al-Qadr is the decree, the planning, the measurement, the decree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did for every creature, and Al-Qadha is the fulfillment of that decree. Is it necessary to believe in Al-Qadha wa Al-Qadr?
Yes.
Okay. Why? Because it is part of Iman, part of the six pillars of faith. How important is it to believe in Al-Qadr? If a person rejects Al-Qadr, then he is resembling other people. The fact is that belief in Al-Qadr is when a person truly believes in divine decree, then he has reached the reality of Iman. The Prophet ﷺ said that there is a reality to everything, and a servant cannot attain the reality of Iman, meaning he cannot know what Iman really is. He cannot really have correct, complete faith until he knows that whatever has reached him could not have missed him. And whatever has missed him could not have reached him. In other words, until he believes in Al-Qadr. And this is with respect to everything. So for example, if something falls on our head, or we hit our foot against something, then what is this? Part of Al-Qadr. Part of Taqdeer. Yes, a person should think over there that why did this fall on me? What did I do? Did I bring this upon myself? He should reflect on his actions. However, he should also realize that this was part of my decree. And what connection does this have with Iman? With the reality of Iman? That is when a person will have sabr. That is when a person will control his tongue. Right? Because otherwise what happens? What do people do in general? They get hurt and they start cursing. They start blaming. They start complaining. Then you see children, because they're young, they don't have much understanding. What happens if even the slightest thing goes against their will? What happens? Do they become upset? Do they lie down on the floor crying? Yes. Then little things bother them. But as a person grows older, then, with his Iman, he should reach the reality of Iman. And with this, what should happen? That everything that he suffers from, he should realize this was part of my fate. This was part of my decree. And if a person does not believe in Al-Qadr, then remember that his Iman is incomplete. It is deficient. The Prophet ﷺ said that a person shall not believe until he believes in Al-Qadr. خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. The good of it and the bad of it. And if a person rejects Al-Qadr, then not even a single deed is accepted. You know that? If a person does not believe in Al-Qadr, his deeds are not accepted. Hadith in the Silsilat al-Sahiha, that Allah will not accept the deeds of three people. Neither their voluntary deeds, nor their obligatory deeds. Meaning, doesn't matter what a person is doing. His deeds are not accepted. Who are those three people? The one who is disobedient, the one who reminds others of the favors that he has done to them, and mukaddib bil qadr, the one who rejects al qadr. So much so that the companions, they said that were you to spend in support of Allah's cause an amount of gold equivalent to Mount Uhud. Just imagine, if you were to spend so much gold in the way of Allah, Allah would not accept it from you until you believed in al qadr. So what do we learn from this? Belief in Al-Qadr is a condition for completion of Iman and a condition for acceptance of deeds. And you knew that what has come to you could not miss you, and that what has missed you could not come to you. And were you to die believing anything else, you would enter hell. Ubay ibn Ka'b said this. So this is something very, very serious. And the fact is, when a person believes in this, as we read in the book, that فَمَا أَصَابَ الْإِنسَانَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَهُ وَمَا أَخْطَأَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَهُ. Whatever has reached him could not have missed him, and whatever has missed him could never have reached him. What does it mean essentially? That whatever has happened with Allah's will. And whatever did not happen, it's because Allah did not want it. He did not allow it. And sometimes very difficult things happen in our lives, meaning things that are very, very difficult upon the heart, very difficult to accept. Like for example, a child is born, and after a few days, the baby dies. Now something very difficult to understand, that why? The mother, what is it that would bring her sabr? This realization that this was part of my decree. This was part of this child's decree, that he would be born healthy and fine, and his life would be only of 3 days. Then the nurse would make such and such mistake, and such would happen, and the child would die. It doesn't mean that the nurse is not guilty for what she did, or the doctor is not guilty for what he did. Of course they're blameworthy, and they need to repent. However, the family, the mother, what is it that will bring her contentment and sabr at this time of difficulty? Belief in al-qadr. This child was not meant to live more than 3 days. I was not meant to enjoy this child for more than 3 days. This was written. This was decreed. So this is what brings sabr. This is what completes and perfects the iman of a person. And this is why it's a condition for the acceptance of good deeds. Because think about it, if a person is upset with his decree, who is he in reality upset with? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person is upset with Allah, then why would his deeds be accepted? Think about it. This is why iman bil qadr is crucial. Now sometimes it happens that we understand the hikmah behind, you know, something difficult that has taken place in our lives. You know, we see the good side of it. Because remember that everything has, even if something is evil, it has a good side to it. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we recognize it. And there are other times when we don't. When we don't understand, why did this child have to die after 3 days? What did he do? What did I do? I cannot think of anything wrong that I did. People say that. Whereas if you think about it, we are sinful. We do many wrong things all the time. If we were punished for our sins, then who would remain on this earth? Nobody. But sometimes it happens that a person cannot understand why certain things are happening in his or her life. Then at that time, what should we say? Subhanaka, la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. Oh Allah, you know. You know why you decided this. You know why you decreed this. I don't know. I don't understand. However, raditu billahi rabba. I am pleased with Allah as my Lord. Belief in Al-Qadr is so crucial, it is so important that the Prophet ﷺ warned the people that there will be a time when people will deny Al-Qadr. He said, إِنَّهُ سَيَكُونُ فِي أُمَّتِي أَقْوَامٌ يُكَذِّبُونَ بِالْقَدْرِ. There will be people in my ummah who will reject Al-Qadr. Why did he warn? Why did he give this warning? So that we are not of such people. And such people have been called who? The Majus of this ummah. The fire worshippers of this ummah, those who believe in multiple gods, those who reject Al-Qadr. Because rejecting Al-Qadr is what? That my actions, his actions, her actions, they've got nothing to do with Allah's will. Right? They've got nothing to do with Allah's will. This is rejecting Al-Qadr. Whereas belief in Al-Qadr means that whatever happened, even if somebody did something, it's because Allah let it happen. He allowed it. So, two sources of actions, right? And the Majus also believe that there are two gods, a god of good and a god of evil. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said that مَن مَاتَ عَلَى غَيْرِ هَذَا, meaning believing in Al-Qadr, فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي, then he is not of me. The Prophet ﷺ dissociated himself from people who reject Al-Qadr. That they are not of me. They've got nothing to do with me. And this is the reason why we also learn in hadith that those who reject Al-Qadr will be deprived from Hawd Al-Kawthar. They will not be allowed to reach there. They will not be allowed to drink from it. And it's a sign of the people of hell. The Prophet ﷺ said concerning the ayah, ذُوقُوا مَسَّ سَقَرُ إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرُ. He said that there will be people among my ummah who will deny Al-Qadr? And then he recited these verses. Those who reject Al-Qadr, he said, ذُوقُوا مَسَّ سَقَرْ. It's a sign of the people of hell. Meaning rejecting Al-Qadr is basically what? Going to hell. And if a person has a belief other than this, meaning other than Al-Qadr, then he has not tasted the sweetness of faith. He has not experienced faith. Ubadah ibn Walid ibn Ubadah, he said that, I went to Ubadah when he was sick, and I thought that he was going to die in that illness. And I requested him that, please, awsini, please advise me. Give me some words of advice that I should hold on to. He said, help me sit up. So he made him sit up. And he said, Ya Bunayya, O my son, إِنَّكَ لَن تَطْعَمَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ وَلَن تَبْلُغَ حَقَّ حَقِيقَةِ الْعِلْمِ بِاللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى حَتَّى تُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدَرِ. That, oh my son, you can never taste the sweetness of faith. You can never taste what faith is, what iman is. You can never know what iman is. And you can never attain true knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until you believe in al-qadr. The good of it and the evil of it. Because think about it, when we're going through some difficulty that is so difficult to bear and understand and comprehend, so heavy upon the heart that people even look at you and they feel pity for you. And when you feel that, yes, this is what my Rabb decreed for me, and yes, it's difficult, but inshallah there is good in this, then despite the difficulty, don't you have this pleasure in your heart? This sukoon? That with the pain, there is that sweetness, right? Just like a mother, she goes through pains of childbirth, right? But then what happens? In that is a joy, right? So likewise, when a person is going through difficulty, and then he realizes, this is what my Lord planned for me. You know, I'm bleeding here and it's hurting so much. And you know what? 50,000 years before even the heavens and the earth were created, this was written. Allah knew this would happen to me. So even in that pain, what happens? A smile comes on your face. Even in that agony, you feel relaxed. And this is when you feel the joy of iman, the pleasure of faith. And this is what develops true understanding about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. That my Lord is so involved in my life. Nothing happens except that Allah allows it. Because He is my Rabb. So belief in Al-Qadr, what does it do basically? It makes us realize what our true position is. That we are servants. We are owned. And who is Allah? Our Lord. He is the one who decides. He is the one who decrees. Not a hand can move. Not a lip can move. A tongue can move. Unless and until Allah allows. I mean, you really feel like you are a servant. You are, you know, like in hadith we learn that the heart is between the two fingers of the Lord. But He's so dominant over us. Can we escape Him? Can we ever run away from Him? Can we avoid Him? No. And this is what makes a person turn to Allah over and over again. In every difficulty, in every pain, in every ease, every achievement, every failure, he turns back to his Lord, seeking Him, seeking His help. Now, we learned about Al-Qadr, that Al-Qadr has different maratib. What are the maratib of Al-Qadr? The first is Al-Ilm. And what does it mean essentially? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about everything. Thing. Thing includes what? Everything we see and we cannot see, and we hear and we don't hear. That's in front of us and behind us and above us and below us. Right? So Allah knows about everything. How vast is His knowledge? Unlimited. Remember that Al-Khadr said to Musa alayhi salam, when they embarked the ship and the bird, it came and, you know, took just a little bit of water from the sea. He said, by Allah, my knowledge and your knowledge besides Allah's knowledge is like what this bird has taken with its beak from the sea. Now just think about it. Allah's knowledge is like the sea. And our knowledge is what? Like a drop of water. Think about it. If something is happening in our life and we don't understand, what is that? A drop of water. Compared to what? Allah's knowledge, which is the ocean, the sea. So what if we don't understand why something has happened in our life? You understand? What's the big deal? If we don't understand, so what? Allah knows why He did something. Allah knows why He allowed something or why He did not allow something. So our success is in what? In submission, in surrender, in acceptance. Accepting Allah's decree because He knows everything. He knows all. And when a person surrenders, when a person accepts, then Allah will also give him sukoonul qalb. Otherwise a person will constantly be upset and angry in his life. Each day will be a struggle. You know, the sister was telling me about how when she was really young, when she was born basically, for whatever reason, the mother, she gave the daughter to somebody else to raise. Somebody in the family. And this daughter, when she grew up, obviously she knew that she was not staying with her family. This was very difficult for her to accept. She said, I was angry with my mother. I was upset with her. That just because I was different, because she had a few disabilities, just because I was different, you gave me away? You gave me away? And she said, I would confront my mother. And my mother wouldn't say anything. She would say, I'm sorry. And she said that finally I accepted that, you know what, this was part of my decree. That I was not to be raised by my mother. I was to be raised in this household, in this family. She said, I just accepted it. That this was part of my al-qadr. And she said from that point onwards, her relationship with her mother, it changed completely. So much so that they're like best friends, even though they live in different countries. And she said, all my siblings are jealous. They are jealous that you didn't live with us when you were young. Still, you have a place in our mother's heart, a place that none of us have. Such a bond. So, I mean, people make mistakes. They do things because they're human beings. Whatever happens, happens. Just accept. Somebody cheated you, somebody hurt you, somebody oppressed you, somebody was unfair with you. Okay, they were. Yes, they are guilty. But you know what? Allah allowed it. Allah let it happen. And there was a reason for that. What was that reason? I don't know. Why? Because I only have a drop. Who knows? Allah knows. Because His knowledge is like the ocean. So just accept His decree. And there will be khair. There will be goodness. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. I am happy with Allah as my Lord. Musa alayhi salam, think about his life. Was it easy? A baby and away from his mother. Raised in the house of Fir'aun. Grew up over there. Still, because he was clearly from the Bani Israel, obviously he must have faced a lot of bias. Right? Imagine growing up in that family. Fir'aun wanted to kill him. So just imagine living day in and day out, and you are being told you are Israeli, but you are here, and you are like this, and you are like this, and Fir'aun wants to kill you. And then what happens? Accidental murder. And whatever that he had lost. And then in Madian, what is he doing? Looking after sheep. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to him? When he spoke to him on the mount? Huh? وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. I have produced you for myself. These hardships and these difficulties that you went through were not for no reason. They were for a purpose. What purpose? Musa alayhi salam couldn't see at that time. He didn't know. Nobody could see. Who knew? Allah knew. And the one who surrenders to Allah, who becomes pleased with Allah's decree, then Allah becomes pleased with him. Allah becomes happy with him. Because it's two ways, right? رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Allah is pleased with them and they're also pleased with him. In the Quran, what do we learn? That إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. We don't even know this much. Clouds are above us. We don't know when rain is going to fall. Right? We step out of the house and we don't know. We could die. We don't know. We'll come back safely. We don't know which place we will die at, which time, which hour we will die at. We don't even know what's in our wombs. Does a woman ever have control over her period? What does that show? We don't even know about our own bodies. The bodies that we are so apparently familiar with. The bodies that we've been with from the moment we opened our eyes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is His knowledge? It is complete and absolute, and our knowledge incomplete and imperfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about things even before they come into existence. And He knows about things even after they have come into existence. He knows about our future. He knows about our past. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. He knows what exists and He also knows what does not exist. He knows the possible and He also knows the impossible. He knows what is and what is not. And He knows if something was what it would be. You understand? Allah knew about this also. So Allah's knowledge is complete. And He knows what is and what is not. And if something was to happen, if something was to come into existence, what it would be. Meaning the probabilities also. In a hadith we learned that the Prophet ﷺ was asked about the children of the mushrikeen. That what if a child who was born in a mushrik family dies? Meaning he never reached the age of bulugha and whatever sins he committed, technically they should be forgiven. And after that, if he commits a sin, even if it's of shirk, then he should be responsible. So what if a child who was born in a mushrik family, while he's still an infant, what if he dies? Will he go to Jannah? Will he be forgiven? The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah is most knowing of what they would do. Allah is most knowing of what they would do. Meaning, if they were to reach the age of adulthood, what would they do? Allah knows even about that. And based on His knowledge, He would either send them to Jannah or hellfire. So you understand? Our knowledge is only limited to what we see, to what we know. Beyond that, who knows? It could go this way, it could go that way. But Allah knows which way a person would have gone. Because He knows the future also. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. And the knowledge of the unseen. What is unseen? What we have not seen. What we cannot see. What is beyond us. Even that is with who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-ghayb is whose knowledge? عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. So ghayb is also the future. If something was to happen, Allah knows about it. So this is why, trust Him. Leave your matters to Him. Accept what He has decreed. What's the second level of Al-Qadr? Kitabah. And what is Kitabah? Everything is written. Everything is recorded. وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. Everything, we have recorded it. We have enumerated it. Where? In the clear record. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah inscribed the decree of the entire creation. The decree of the entire creation. He had it written when? 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. So just imagine, 50,000 years before even the sky and the earth were created. Not we were created. The sky and the earth were created. 50,000 years prior to that, everything was written. Everything was recorded. So if we become angry about what was written, will it make a difference? Who will it harm? Us. Right? The third level is what? Of mashi'a, of will. Meaning, whatever Allah wills, that happens. And whatever Allah does not will, it shall never happen. If Allah wills, His mashi'ah is there, لو شاء, it would certainly take place. And if He does not want, then it can never happen. So what does this mean? In other words, that there is nothing that exists except that Allah willed it. There is nothing that has ever taken place, nothing that has ever occurred except that Allah willed it. So if He wants, He can let something happen. And if He wants, He can also prevent it. Has it ever happened with you that you wanted something to happen, but it just never happened? Huh? This is our life story, isn't it? This is what has happened throughout our lives. We want things to happen in a certain way, but they don't happen like that. So if Allah wants, He can let something happen. And if He wants, He can also prevent it. Now, does this mean that we don't have a will? we also have a will, right? Because we also intend. Sometimes we plan, we intend to do something, and sometimes we intend otherwise to not do something, right? Like, for example, somebody has invited you. Somebody asks you, are you going? You say, yes, I intend to go. And then, or you say, no, I don't intend to go. Do you have a will? Of course you have a will. However, our will is also under Allah's will. Meaning, we cannot force Allah. If we want to do something, if we want something to happen, we cannot force Allah. Never. If we want something to happen, if we want to do something, it can only happen if Allah wills. Clear? In a hadith we learned the Prophet ﷺ said, none of you should say to Allah, oh Allah, grant me mercy if you like. Allahumma arhamni in shi'ta. He said, don't say that. You should have conviction in your dua. Because Allah is the doer of whatever He likes. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ صَانِعٌ مَا شَاءَ لَا مُكْرِهَ لَهُ. There is none to force Him. You can't force Him. So don't feel like you're forcing Allah when you're making dua to Him. Make dua with determination. That, oh Allah, I want Jannah. I want it. I really, really want it. Please let me enter it. I want it. Don't say, may I also be of those people who go to Jannah? Perhaps, maybe. No. Be determined. Because know that you cannot force Allah. He will do whatever He wants. Even our intentions, they are under whose will? Allah's will. Meaning if He does not allow, we cannot even intend to do something. Clear? وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. So even for us to intend to do something good, what is necessary? For Allah to allow us to have that intention. This is why we ask Allah for tawfiq. Right? What is tawfiq? That, oh Allah, give us that ability, that opportunity and that understanding. To seize that opportunity, to use that ability. Because sometimes the ability is there, the time is there, the opportunity is also right before us. But that thought doesn't cross our mind. Right? Why doesn't it cross our mind? Because tawfiq was not there. So this is why we ask Allah for tawfiq. Allahumma waffiqna lima tuhibbu wa tarda. Right? Give us tawfiq. You give us the ability. Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya. Because we cannot even be grateful if Allah does not allow us. Right? Because the blessings could be right in front of us. We could be using them. But still, those feelings of gratitude, they don't even come. So, remember that even our intentions are under Allah's will. What is after Mashi'ah? The fourth of the maratib. Al-Khalq. Okay? Mashi'ah. And then, Al-Khalq. What does this mean? That every creature is whose creature? Who created it? Allah created it. Every creation is Allah's creation. There is no creator but Him. There is no Lord but Him. Which means that He alone does the tatbir of every single creature. Meaning He creates it at the time when He decides, when He wants, in the manner, in the way that He decides, He wants, then He provides it, He grows it, He nurtures it, He makes it go through difficulty and ease, because al-khalqu khalqu. The creation is His creation. So these are the four maratib of al-qadr. And then we learned that لا تعارض بين القدر والشرع ولا بين تقديره للمعاصي وبغضه لها. What does it mean? That there is no contradiction between qadr and al-shar. Both are from Him. Meaning, because there could be a question that one is something that Allah orders, right? And the other is that Allah creates, meaning Allah lets it happen. So there could be a question that if Allah has ordered something, if Allah has commanded something, so for example, He has commanded people to pray, then why does He let something happen against it? Meaning, why does He let people skip their prayers? and abandon their prayers? If he has ordered, then how come his order, his will is not executed? You understand? How come the opposite of that is occurring? What's the answer? Even that is by Allah's will. Meaning if somebody abandons the prayer, if someone skips the prayer, that is also by whose will? Allah's will. Why? Because remember there are two types of irada. Right? What are they? One is kawni and the other is shari'i. Kawni is what? Mashi'ah. Meaning everything that happens, good, bad, nice, evil, whatever. Obedience, disobedience, kufr, iman, shirk, tawheed, whatever that happens, happens because Allah let it happen. Allah allowed it to happen. Allah willed it. Why did He allow something bad to happen? We discussed that earlier. There is wisdom behind that. There is benefit in that. Right? And what is irada shar'iyya? What He has commanded. Right? What He loves. Okay. وَلَا بَيْنَ تَقْدِيرِهِ لِلْمَعَاصِي وَبُغْضِهِ لَهَا. Meaning if He allows sins to happen, then why does He dislike them? You understand? Because we established this earlier, everything happens by Allah's will. And then we have also learned that there are certain things that Allah has commanded and certain things that He has forbidden. Okay. Then if He allows sins to happen, why does He dislike them? Like for example, a person says, you know, I don't pray. And if it was not okay for me to leave prayer, why does Allah let me leave prayer? Have you heard these kind of questions? People say this a lot, right? So what's the answer? That this also has to do with mashi'ah. That Allah has a will and the servants have also been given a will. They have also been given a choice. Allah loves what He commands and this is why He commanded it. And He lets happen in the universe what He likes and also what He dislikes. He does not force His servants to do good, nor does He prevent them from wrong by force. Why? Because He's given them a choice. Because this is what this life is about, a test. But if He wants, can He force people to do good? Yes. If He wants, can He force them to stay away from wrong? Yes. لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَهَدَاكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. But this is not His way. This is not His way. إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Allah has guided man. This is right, this is wrong. Now it's up to you. Either you do shukr or you do kufr. This is your test in life. And if we did not have this choice to choose evil or to choose good, then what would be this life about? Why would there be a Jannah and why would there be a hell? Right? And if we did not have a will of our own, why would He order us? If He did not allow sins to ever occur, why would He give us the choice to either sin or obey? Right? Like for example, when it comes to animals, have they been given a shara? A law to observe, to follow? No. They have not been. Why? Because they don't have free will. Right? And this is the reason why animals, even if they are in captivity, how do they behave? How do they live? How do they eat? How do they drink? Whatever has been ingrained in their fitrah. Right? I was looking at this video of a bird that was raised in a house. I mean, hand-fed by someone. So basically a bird that has never seen a jungle. Never even seen another bird, perhaps. Okay? But this bird, now what it does is that it acts, it plays dead. Because this is what these birds do in the wild. They play dead. Just to show their prey that they're dead, so don't bother coming to me. Who taught this bird? Did a mother teach it? No. A human being, how can they train this bird to do something like this? Right? The way this bird eats, the way it takes a bath, it's like as if he's been living with birds all his life, but that is not the case. So, what will birds do? What will animals do? Whatever situation they're in, they will do whatever is required of them. Whatever they have been taught to do. It's in them. But human beings have been given a choice. You can either do this or you can do that. And this is the reason why we are accountable. Okay. Then the next clarification was, لَا تَنَافِيَ بَيْنَ إِثْبَاتِ الْقَدْرِ وَإِسْنَادِ أَفْعَالِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَيْهِمْ حَقِيقَةً وَأَنَّهُمْ يَفْعَلُونَهَا بِاخْتِيَارِهِمْ. We established earlier that whatever happens, happens by Allah's will. And everything that exists is whose creation? Allah's creation. So even the servants and the actions of the servants, what are they? Allah's creation. And the question is that if a person is doing something wrong, then who is responsible for it? Who will this action be ascribed to? The person or Allah? This is a question. So what do we learn? That it's the servants who perform the actions. They will, and Allah wills, meaning He allows, and then they do it. And since they are His creation, their actions are also His creation. And this is not difficult to understand. Because we are His creation, our actions are also His creation. Let me give you an example. You have a room in your house that's supposed to be yours. Now whatever you put in that room, whatever you keep in that room, whose is it? It's also yours. What do you say when your brother comes and says, no, I need these curtains? You say, no, these are my curtains because they're in my room. Who said they're yours? Because they're in my room. Right? So the room is yours, and this is why everything in the room is also yours. Okay, let me give you another example. Parents, when they have their children, what do they say? My children. And when their children have their children, then what happens? These are even more my children. So I should give them a name. And I should be able to decide. Right? So likewise, as human beings, whose creation are we? Allah's creation. And our actions are also Allah's creation. But this does not mean that we are excluded from that. No. We are responsible for the deeds that we perform. Because the servants, the people, they have been given qudrah and irada, ability and will, intention. And both of these, who provided them? Who created them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because He created them, He provided them, this is why He is our creator and also the creator of our deeds. Basically what this means is that just as nothing can come into existence except that Allah creates it, likewise, nothing can be performed except that Allah creates it. No action can be performed except that Allah allows it. Clear? Now, for example, a human being, he kills another. Can he say over here, this is Allah's action. He created this action. How do we understand this? It's his action. Why? Because he killed with the ability that he has and also the choice that he made. Right? This is why it is his action. However, he was not able to perform that action unless and until Allah allowed it. Alright? Allah allowed it. Now, why did Allah allow it? Because He likes it? No. Exactly. This is irada kawniya. Okay. What do the Qadariya believe? I'm asking you, look at your notes. What did you learn yesterday? That there is no qadr. Actions happen not because Allah willed them, not because He created them. They happen only because of us. So basically they said that God has no effect on our actions. We are independent of Him. Do people say such things? Yeah. You know, like, for example, a person says, I'm making dua, hopefully things should become easy. Forget about all this dua, you have to do something yourself. Or if a person says, you know, whatever is decreed will happen. Forget about this decree. You still believe in that? You have to make your decree. Isn't it? This is what people say. This is an extreme. And this is rejection of al-qadr. So be careful when we say such things. It doesn't mean that a person should not do anything himself and only rely upon al-qadr and only rely upon, you know, dua, and he does not move himself. The Prophet ﷺ, what did he do? He made dua and he also performed action himself. So that is the balance. What do the Jabriya believe? That everything is by Allah's will. We have no will. We are compelled, we are coerced, just like other creatures. What's the effect of this belief that if a person says, we have no will, what are the consequences of this belief? Yes, that everything is happening by His will. He loves it, right? So good is evil and evil is good. Everything is the same. And that if Allah has commanded something, if Allah has done something, there is no wisdom behind that. There is no benefit of it. Everything is the same. Sin and righteousness, they're both equal. Does this remind you of something that the mushrikeen would say? Basically, this is what? Jabariya. their belief is what? Blaming everything to on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did the mushrikeen say? لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا. They said, if Allah wanted, we would never have done shirk. So if we are doing shirk, it's because Allah wants us to. We are being forced. We are being compelled. We have no choice. And He likes us to do it. This is why He's making us do it. Exactly. Iblis said something similar. What did he say? قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. You led me astray. You forced me into this. I had no choice. Jabr. Right? So, this is also incorrect. So, the Ahlu Sunnah, what is their belief in Al-Qadr? Of moderation. Remember we learned earlier, hum fil wasat. So, even with respect to Al-Qadr, they are in the wasat. And what is that? We believe in Al-Qadr. Everything happens according to Allah's decree. What He knows, what He wrote, what He allowed, what He created. But we don't know about what He wrote for us. He has given us a will, and we will do our best. You know, like if a person says, well, everything is written. For every human being, it's written whether they're going to go to heaven or hell. So, what's the point? What's the point? What's the answer? Did you see that? Did you see Lawh al-Mahfuz? Did you see written in it that your name is amongst the people of hell? No, you don't know about it. So, when you don't know, what are you supposed to do? Do your best. Strive for the best. Right? So action is required from us. Do your best and also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for khair. Because remember that لا يرد القضاء إلا الدعاء. Nothing repels, turns back the decree except for dua. Meaning dua can change what was written in your yearly decree, in your annual qadr. In the Lawh al-Mahfuz everything is recorded, right? But in your yearly qadr, kitab, it can change. And this is the reason why so many du'as have been taught to us with respect to al-qadr. As'aluka rida ba'da al-qadr, first of all. But, O Allah, I ask you for rida after your decree. Meaning, once you've decreed something for me, give me the ability to be pleased with it. Because my success lies in that. If I'm unhappy, if I'm angry, I'm only going to harm myself. So give me the ability to be happy with your decree. And when something bad happens, because sharrihi, right? So when something bad happens, what should we say? Alhamdulillah and? Okay, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal and? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What does that mean? We belong to Allah. We are His servants. We are His makhluq. If something is happening to us, it's by His will. He wrote it. He knew about it. And also qadarullah. وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. The Prophet ﷺ said, right, that seek what is good for you and do not become weak. Do not لا تعجز. And if some difficulty befalls you, then do not say that if I were to do this and this, then it would not have happened. Because لو, what does it do? It opens the door to shaitan. وَلَكِنْ قُلْ قَدَرُ اللَّهِ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. What should you say when you're disappointed? When your plans fail? This was Allah's plan and He does what He wills. The Prophet ﷺ, he would seek refuge against su'ul qada'. أعوذ بالله من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. That, oh Allah, if something evil has been written for me, protect me from that. If my name is written amongst the people of hell, Ya Allah, please, take me out of that list. I don't want to be amongst those people. Even in dua qunut, what do we say? وَقِنِي شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتُ. Oh Allah, save me from the evil of that which has been decreed for me. And ask Allah for a good end. وَأَسْأَلُكَ مَا قَضَيْتَ لِي مِنْ أَمْرٍ أَنْ تَجْعَلَ عَاقِبَتَهُ رَشَدًا. That, oh Allah, I ask that whatever you have decreed for me of any matter, make its outcome good. وَأَسْأَلُكَ مَا قَضَيْتَ لِي مِنْ أَمْرٍ أَنْ تَجْعَلَ عَاقِبَتَهُ رَشَدًا. Because this is what matters, right? What's happening in our lives, some majority of the time, it's beyond us. We can't change it. Can we? No. However, its outcome can be good for us. Correct? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Al-Qadir. Right? He is Al-Muqtadir. He can make something living come out of something that is dead? Right? So on the surface it seems dead. It seems evil. But oh Allah, bring something good for me from this. So what's the benefit of believing in Al-Qadr? You tell me now. Okay, it brings contentment and satisfaction despite the circumstances that a person is in. Yes, it cleans our heart. Our hearts are, you know, cleansed of any anger or ill feelings that we may have for other people because of what they've done to us. Forgiving others becomes easy. It brings a continuous positive attitude. Hope for reward. That even if a person is going through the most difficult times, and he looks at another who is also going through an extreme difficulty, what do you think? This was part of decree. This person is being tested. Hopefully, inshallah, he did sabr, and he will have something much, much better than this.
It helps to keep us away from the minor shirk. Like in our country, people, when they are in extreme pain, and if the pain goes long, they will go to some people, other people, graves, to ask for help. So if you have a strong belief in Qadr, this shirk will not happen. It keeps us on Tawheed.
Yes. Keeps a person firm on Tawheed. That whatever happened, happened by Allah's will. And nothing can change except by Allah's will. If I go to a grave and ask so-and-so or go, you know, to such-and-such place and make this offering, nothing can happen unless and until Allah wills it. Life would be so difficult without belief in Al-Qadr. It would be so depressing. Yes, that it helps us focus on what we have to do. You know, because when something, you know, for example, a certain situation, circumstances that you were in, you realized, okay, they're beyond me. You know what, I can't change them. You know what, it happened according to Allah's will. Allah let it happen. Okay, what am I supposed to do now? What should I do now? Like, for example, you're sitting at the airport. The flight is delayed. Not cancelled right away. First, it's delayed. One is that you become angry. And you get upset. And the other is, you know what? Allah decreed that I should arrive at the airport and then find out that the flight has been delayed. So, I have been brought here for a reason. Now, what should I do? What can I do? Right? You spend your time wisely and then you find out, okay, now the flight has been delayed, delayed, delayed and eventually cancelled. The flight is not in your control. But what is in your control? What you say and what you do. So, when you believe in Al-Qadr, you are able to focus on yourself.
There was a show on television, and the man was he was advising what to do in difficult circumstances. And he was advising on different things like depression, anger, and all of those things. And he just spoke to somebody else from the audience, and she said, "Give me three things that make you unhappy or bother you, or you're not able to stop." So she gave three things, and one of them was divorce. And she was already divorced, and there were two other things, the job and the kids. So he says that divorce has happened, and you cannot do anything about it. And then he suggested ways for the other two. So even here, you know, in this day and age, they also teach you what is having the benefit of it overall in mind.
Yes, iman improvement. Overall, you know, positivity, overall being hopeful, overall being focused on your actions, improving yourself as a person, as an individual. Yes, you make dua with more conviction. Alhamdulillah. Then bearing life's difficulties, it becomes easier. And then a person is able to do sabr himself and also encourage others to do sabr. You know, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ. Whoever believes in Allah, then Allah guides his heart. Al-Qama, he said about this ayah that he is the man who is stricken with an affliction and he knows that it is from Allah. So he is pleased and he submits. Yahdi qalba. His heart is rightly guided. He doesn't lose himself. He doesn't exhibit impatience and intolerance.
You're more cautious. You make more dua that Allah saves you from the hellfire. You could feel, for example, if you're a believer and you just become safe in your belief that, oh, I can never go to hellfire, you become, you know, arrogant.
Exactly.
You know that Allah might have, you know, hopefully not, but He might have decreed your name in the people you don't want to be in.
That a person becomes more cautious, more careful about what he asks for and what he aspires for, he becomes more careful. And he doesn't become too proud. He doesn't rely upon just the little that he has done. Nor does he become too happy with what he has accomplished. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ No matter what you've done, you only did it because Allah let you. Allah allowed you. Yes, jealousy we may feel for, you know, for others, and pride that we may have in our hearts. It's a cure to the diseases of the heart.
I have a very, very close friend. She's like a sister to me. Sort of, she came before me, but I met her 33 years ago. And she lost her son. Somebody killed him a couple of 20 years ago. And now she's been diagnosed with cancer. So her daughters keep saying, but mommy, why are you giving all this difficulties? Like, you know, the brother has killed him. So I told him, I said, see, Allah loves you all so much that He's testing you in different ways. As long as you go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not away from Him, and that's what it is. I said, I know it's a very, very difficult because she's just going through chemotherapy and losing all her hair and everything. It's a very difficult time. But I said, you know what, remember that Allah loves you, that's why He's testing you. And you just have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be strong. Because remember, every calamity or any difficulty happens for us to go towards Allah.
Yes.
Not away from
Him. Yes, and this reminds me that we should become extremely careful about our speech. Because many times in our words, you know, we say things that contradict belief in Al-Qadr. Like, for example, we say things like, why am I the victim of every problem? Why is this happening so much over and over again? Or we say things like, bad karma, or, you know, we say such things. So, be careful about your speech. Once we learned that Aisha radiallahu anha, she said when a child died, she said, there is happiness for this child who is a bird from amongst the birds of paradise. A child died, and this is what she said about the child. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't you know that Allah created paradise and He created hell and He created some people for this and some people for that? How can you say that this person, this child, is definitely a bird from the birds of paradise? What do you know? How can you say? So we have to become extremely careful about our speech. What kind of words do we say when we're angry, when we're sad, when somebody does something bad in front of us, or when something good happens, a problem is taken away, somebody was very helpful? What kind of words do we say? We have to become extremely careful about that. Okay, inshallah, let's continue to the next section, which is حَقِيقَةُ الْإِيمَانِ وَحُكْمُ مُرْتَكِبِ الْكَبِيرَةِ حَقِيقَةُ reality al-iman of iman. Meaning, what is the reality of iman? What is iman like? Is it just something that is stagnant, it's stationary, it doesn't grow, it doesn't diminish, it doesn't increase, it doesn't decrease? What is it like? وَحُكْمُ and the ruling concerning مُرْتَكِب. Who is the مُرْتَكِب? The one who commits. What does he commit? Al-kabira, a major sin. Meaning, a person who commits a major sin, what is the ruling concerning him? Is he still a believer? Does he remain a believer? Or does he lose his faith because of the sin that he has committed? Now remember that the Ahlu Sunnah believe that iman is something that increases and decreases. And because of that, a person can commit a sin and he will remain a believer. And he can also commit, you know, perform a good deed, and he will increase in his faith. Why? Because faith increases, decreases. And because of that, he can perform sins, and he will also perform good deeds, because he's a human being. The Khawarij, what would they say? They would say that if a person commits a major sin, then his faith has left him. He has lost his iman. So he's no longer a believer. In fact, he has committed kufr, he has become a kafir, and this means that he will go to hell forever, and this means that in this life he should be killed. So imagine, they said that if a person commits theft, he should be killed. He will stay in hellfire forever. But is this the punishment that is given in the Quran for someone who commits theft? It's something else, right? So the Khawarij, they were a deviant sect who used logic instead of the Sharia to make judgment. On the other hand, the other extreme was of the Murji'ah from Raja. What did they say? They said the exact opposite. They said, doesn't matter what you do. If you believe in God, Iman is in your heart, then you know what? For sure you'll go to paradise. Then whether you perform good deeds or you perform sins, it doesn't make a difference. So the main problem over here is that both the groups, the Khawarij and the Murji'ah, they excluded Amal from Iman. In the sense that they did not establish the right connection between Iman and Amal. You understand? They didn't establish the right connection between Iman and Amal. Fasl. وَمِنْ أُصُولِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ Of the principles of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah is أَنَّ that indeed, الدِّينَ the religion, meaning the religion that is adopted by a person, وَالْإِيمَانَ and Iman, meaning the Iman that he has, what is it? It is قَوْلٌ وَعَمَلٌ It is words and actions. It's not just saying, I'm a believer. Nor is it just performing actions. It is qawl wa amal. It's a combination. Iman is both words and actions. Which words? Which qawl? Qawlul qalb, the words of the heart. Wal lisan, and the words of the tongue. Meaning Iman includes both statements. Statements of the heart as well as statements of the tongue. What are statements of the heart? So for example, a person says in his heart, I believe in Allah. Yes, I believe in the Day of Judgment. I believe in Al-Qadr. You know, you talk to yourself in your heart, right? So this is Qawlul Qalb. Wal Lisan. What is Qawlul Lisan? To say from the tongue that I believe in Allah. This is why the declaration of faith has to be made. When a person becomes a Muslim, does he have to say the Shahada? Yes, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. He has to say it. So Qawlul Qalb wal Lisan. And it is also وَعَمَلُ الْقَلْبِ And it is also the action of the heart, وَاللِّسَانِ And the action of the tongue, وَالْجَوَارِحِ And the action of the limbs. What does that mean? That Iman includes actions of the heart. What is action? Movement. Movement in the heart, meaning some feeling in the heart. That is from Iman, that is part of Iman. Like what? Love for Allah. Does it move your heart? Yes. Fear of Allah. Does that move the heart? Trust upon Allah. Does that move the heart? Ikhlasun niyyah. Sincerity of intention. Raja, hope. All of these are what? Actions of the heart. And they are all part of Iman. And then, amalul qalb wal lisan. Action of the tongue. What is the action of the tongue? What action does the tongue perform? Speech. Saying things with the mouth, with the tongue, which are part of Iman. So for example, saying, yeah, I believe in Allah. Saying, La ilaha illallah. Saying, Subhanallah. Saying, Alhamdulillah. Dhikr, dua, recitation of the Quran. These are all what? Actions of the tongue. And then, wal jawarih. Actions of the limbs, meaning of the body. Rukur, sujood, qiyam. Likewise, wudu. These are all what? Actions that are part of Iman. So this is the position of Ahlu Sunnah. And the Ahlu Sunnah, they say that وَأَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ And that Iman يَزِيدُ بِالطَّاعَ It increases with obedience. وَيَنْقُصُ And it reduces بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ With disobedience. Meaning the level of Iman goes up and it also goes down. How does it go up? How does it increase? بِالطَّاعَ And how does it go down? With sin. Like for example, if a person does not eat a balanced diet, will there be a deficiency in his body? There will be, right? Like for example, iron deficiency. Then what's the cure? Just fuss about it? My iron is low. That's why I need to sleep. And that's why please don't tell me to do anything. Is this the solution? What's the solution? Take iron supplement. So if Iman is low, Instead of complaining to everybody, my iman is really low, my iman is really low, what should we do? Perform ta'a. يَزِيدُ بِالطَّاعَ وَهَنْقُصُ بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ So this is the position of Ahlu Sunnah, that iman does not remain stagnant, it increases and decreases. Actions, feelings of the heart, statements of the tongue, when they are in alignment with iman, and the more they are, the more they increase, then the more iman will grow. And when they're not aligned with iman, then what will happen? Iman will decrease. The Murji'a, they said that no, iman doesn't increase and decrease. Because they said that iman is just affirmation in the heart. Like for example, a person affirms, angels exist. Allah is one. Allah sent messengers. Allah revealed books. There will be a day of judgment. This is affirmation of the heart. They said only this is iman. And they said that actions, they have nothing to do with iman. So iman, it will not increase or decrease. The other group, the wa'idiyya. Wa'idiyya, what word comes to your mind? Wa'id, what is wa'id? Threat. Wa'idiyya are basically those who only follow the texts that give wa'id, that promise punishment. And who are they? The Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. The Khawarij, they also said that iman doesn't increase and decrease. If a person, you know, he commits even one sin, his iman is gone. And the Mu'tazila, they said that when a person commits a sin, then he is neither at the level of iman, at the station of iman, nor is he at the station of kufr. Then where is he? He has left iman, but he has not entered kufr. Where is he? In a state between the two states. But Allah has either made Jannah or Jahannam. Like there's two places, right? There's no manzila, bayn al-manzilatayn, right? So they innovated this. They came up with this. They invented this. The Ahlu Sunnah, they say no, iman increases and it decreases. وَهُمْ مَعَ ذَلِكَ And they, along with that, لَا يُكَفِّرُونَ They do not do takfir off. What is doing takfir? To call someone a kafir. To say that so-and-so has committed kufr. The Ahlu Sunnah, they do not do takfir of who? Ahl al-Qibla. The people of Qibla. Meaning the people who face the same Qibla. Who are they? The Muslims. Meaning if someone faces the Kaaba in his prayer, and he says that he is a Muslim, the Ahlu Sunnah, they don't do his takfir. بِمُطْلَقِ الْمَعَاصِي وَالْكَبَائِرِ Just because of general acts of ma'asi and kaba'ir. What are ma'asi? Sins. And what are kaba'ir? Major sins. Meaning, just because a person is performing general acts of sin, of disobedience, even major sins, that doesn't mean that the Ahlu Sunnah will call him a kafir. No, they will not call him kafir. What will they say about a thief? They will say he's a thief, not kafir. What will they say about a zani? He's a zani, not a kafir. Just because he's committed zina, that doesn't mean he become a kafir. He has committed a major sin, but that doesn't mean that he has exited the folds of Islam. كَمَا يَفْعَلُهُ الْخَوَارِجِ As the Khawarij do. What do the Khawarij do? They say if a person commits a sin, a major sin, he's kafir. He has exited Islam. His blood is halal. بَلْ rather, الْأُخُوَّةُ الْإِيمَانِيَّةُ He says that الْأُخُوَّةُ brotherhood, of al-imaniyatu, of iman. Meaning the brotherhood that Muslims have because of the iman that they share. Islamic brotherhood. Brotherhood because of Islam. It is sabitatun. It is confirmed. It is still affirmed. Ma'al ma'asi. Along with the sins. Meaning, even if a person is committing sin, and he says, you know, I still believe, I have faith in Allah, my iman was low, this is why I committed this sin. He's still your Muslim brother. She's still your Muslim sister. بَلِ الْأُخُوَّةُ الْإِيمَانِيَّةُ سَابِتَةٌ مَعَ الْمَعَاصِي كَمَا قَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى Just as Allah the Exalted, glorified is He, has said, فِي آيَةِ الْقِصَاصِ In the ayah of Qisas. What is Qisas? The law of equal retribution. What did Allah say? That فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ Whoever is pardoned. Min أَخِيهِ In the case of his brother. شَيْءٌ Anything. فَاتِّبَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Then a suitable follow-up should be done. Meaning if a person kills another, how many people are there? Qatil maqtul. Right? So the qatil, qisas has to be taken. Right? But can he be forgiven? Can his life be forgiven? Yes, by the heirs. So, فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ Whoever is pardoned. Who is pardoned? The qatil, the killer, is being pardoned. مِنْ أَخِيهِ In the case of his brother. Which brother? The brother that he killed. Allah calls the maqtul the brother of the qatil. Imagine, the innocent maqtul is still being called the brother of the qatil. Why? Because qatl is a major sin. However, الْأُخُوَّةُ الْإِيمَانِيَةُ ثَابِتَةٌ مَعَ الْمَعَاصِي وَقَالَ And he has said, وَإِمْ طَائِفَتَانِ Another evidence for this, that despite sin, the brotherhood of iman is still established, that وَإِمْ طَائِفَتَانِ If two groups, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Of the believers, اِقْتَتَلُوا They fight each other. They raise their weapons against each other. They're literally killing each other. Then what should be done? The Muslims were watching. Allah says, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا Then do islah between them two. Make them reconcile. Don't let this bloodshed carry on. فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا Then if one of them has بَغَتْ, transgressed, rebelled, عَلَى الْأُخْرَى, on the other, meaning one group started the aggression, and they're not stopping. Then what does Allah say? فَقَاتِلُوا Then you should fight. Against who? أَلَّتِي تَبْغِي The one who began the aggression. The one who transgressed. حَتَّى Until تَفِيَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ It returns to the command of Allah. Meaning basically, they give up. They stop fighting. فَإِنْ فَاءَتْ Then if they return, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ Then cause reconciliation between them. How? With justice. وَأَقْسِطُوا Be just because إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ Indeed, Allah loves those who do. Who are just. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Indeed, the believers, they are ikhwah, brothers. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ So, do islah between your brothers. Now what do we see over here? Killing another believer, what is it? It's a major sin. But still, people are being called believers and brothers of each other. Why? Because الْأُخُوَّةُ الْإِيمَانِيَةُ ثَابِتَةٌ مَعَ الْمَعَاصِي Notice how إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ Indeed, the believers are brothers. الْمُؤْمِنُونَ All believers. Meaning even if they're fighting against each other, even if they're killing each other, they're still brothers, they're still believers. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَلَا يَسْلُبُونَ And they do not remove, they do not negate. Who? The Ahlu Sunnah. الفاسق The fasiq. Who is fasiq? The one who commits fisq. What is fisq? To cross the limits, to commit a sin. Remember that there is two kinds of fisq, two levels of fisq. One is minor fisq, and the other is major. What is minor fisq? Like, for example, a person is committing a sin. Fasiq. Fasiq is who? The one who commits a sin. In the Quran, we learn about it. Crossing the limits. Right? Could be a minor sin. Then there's major fisq, which is crossing the bounds of Islam and entering into kufr. So for example, shirk, is that a kind of fisq? Yes. Likewise, renouncing Islam, a person says, you know what, I don't believe in this Islam. I don't accept this Islam. He is crossing the limits by saying such a statement. Has he committed minor fisq or major fisq? Major fisq. So over here, which fasiq is being mentioned? الفاسق الملي الإسلام The fasiq who is الملي Milli, what word comes to your mind? Millah, what is millah? Religion ملة إبراهيم The religion of Ibrahim So milli is one who is You know, nisba is being done to the millah Like for example, Pakistan Pakistani Meaning the one who is from Pakistan So milli meaning the one who is from the millah Which millah? Of al-Islam Of Islam Meaning the milli fasiq. In other words, the one who still remains within the religion despite his fisq. So which fisq is this, minor or major? Minor. Okay? So the fasiq who is still part of Islam, okay, they do not yaslubuna. The Ahlu Sunnah do not remove him from where? From what? From Islam. Bilkulliyya. Entirely. Meaning, just because a person uttered a lie, yes, it's fisq. Yes, it's serious. But that doesn't mean he has been expelled from Islam. He exited the folds of Islam. Kulliyya, completely, entirely. No, they don't do that. This is not the way of Ahlu Sunnah. وَلَا يُخَلِّدُونَهُ فِي النَّارِ Nor do they consider him to be a permanent inhabitant of the hellfire. Meaning if there is a Muslim, he has committed minor fisq, a sin, that doesn't mean he will stay in hellfire forever. Right? What does it mean? That he will perhaps be thrown into hellfire because of the sins that he has committed. However, eventually he will be taken out. Like we learn in hadith that if a person has even atom's weight of iman in his heart, he will be brought out of hell. So, this is not the way of Ahlu Sunnah. That they would say that a person who has committed fisq, he's definitely a non-Muslim, and he will stay in hellfire forever. كَمَا تَقُولُ الْمُعْتَزِلَةِ As the Mu'tazila say. What do the Mu'tazila say? They say that a sinner cannot go to paradise. Why? Because when a person commits a sin, he exits Islam. But he has not entered kufr. So where is he? Manzila? Bain al-manzilatayn. But rather, the Ahlu Sunnah, they say that al-fasiqu, the fasiq, yadkhulu, he is included. Fi in ism al-iman, the term iman, al-mutlaq, in the general sense. Meaning, iman, as a general term, what does that mean? Faith, to believe. So, even if a person has committed sin, does the general term of iman apply to him? Yes. Yes, he's still a believer. كَمَا فِي قَوْلِهِ Just as is in his statement, فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٌ فَتَحْرِيرُ Then freeing رَقَبَةٍ of a neck, meaning a slave, that is مُؤْمِنَة, believing. مُؤْمِنَةٍ What does that mean? عَام مُؤْمِن A believer, meaning in general terms. Okay? Over here, the reason why this ayah is mentioned is to show رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ That the term mu'min is being used in the general sense. Because a slave that is being freed, it hasn't been said, well, that slave should be praying 5 times a day. And he should never ever have committed sin. And you have to check his life history. No, that has not been said. Why? Because if he says, yeah, I'm a believer, like the Prophet ﷺ asked the girl, right? She passed the test of iman. She was not questioned about her relationships and her, you know, about many other things. She was not questioned about that. Right? So, the person who commits a sin, he is included in the term iman in the general sense. كَمَا فِي قَوْلِي فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ But in another way, وَقَدْ And in fact, لَا يَدْخُلُ He is not included فِي إِنْ إِسْمِ الْإِيمَانِ In the term al-iman, al-mutlaq, absolute sense. Meaning, the term iman, basically what he's saying over here is that the term iman has two usages. Okay? In the Quran also, when we learn, in kuntum mu'mineen, if you are truly believers, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have believed. Right? So, it has two usages. One is general faith. A person believes, yes, he believes in the 6 pillars of faith, he believes in the Quran, mutlaqul iman, meaning iman in the general sense applies to him. And the example of that is فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ If someone says, I testify that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad ﷺ is his messenger, who is he? A believer. Does he become an angel so that he will never commit a sin? Of course he will commit a sin. So he is called a believer, despite the fact that he sins. But remember that the term iman is also used in another way. And that is to show al-iman al-mutlaq, meaning absolute, kamil, complete faith. This is very important to understand. Complete faith. You know, like when we read ayat in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. What are we told? That pay attention to this. Why? Because either you're being commanded to do something that will complete and perfect your faith, or you are being told to keep away from something that will also complete and perfect your faith. This is necessary for the completion and for the perfection of your iman. So, you understand? So, it has two usages. One is general faith and the other is kamil. Kamil faith, completion of faith. So, he says, the person who commits a sin, yes, وَقَدْ لَا يَدْخُلُ, then he is not included في اسم الإيمان المطلق. In the term iman, المطلق in the perfect sense. كَمَا فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, just as it is in the statement of Allah the Exalted, that إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Indeed, the believers, who are they? Those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And when His ayat are recited upon them, it increases them in faith. Now over here, if a person says, well, when Allah is mentioned, my heart does not always tremble. And every time I hear the ayat of the Qur'an, my iman doesn't always increase. Doesn't mean I'm not a believer? What does it mean by al-mu'minun over here? Those with a higher level of iman. You understand? Those who have a higher level of iman. وَقَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. لَا يَزْنِ الزَّانِي. The zani, the fornicator, does not commit zina. Hina, at the time when yazni, he is committing zina, وَهُوَ mu'min, while he is a believer. What does it mean by mu'min over here? That he becomes a kafir? What does it mean? That he is not at that level of complete and a higher level of faith. Rather, his faith has decreased significantly. Because when he's involved in the act, then it's as though his faith has really, really reduced. وَلَا يَسْرِقُ السَّارِقُ حِينَ يَسْرِقُ. And the thief does not commit theft at the time when he is committing theft, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, while he is a believer. وَلَا يَشْرَبُ الْخَمْرَ حِينَ يَشْرَبُهَا. And he does not drink alcohol when he is drinking it, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, while he is a believer. وَلَا يَنْتَهِبُ, nor does he plunder, نُهْبَةً, a plundering, ذَاتَ شَرَفٍ, a property of esteemed status. Meaning when a person is forcibly taking the wealth of other people away, and when he's doing that, يَرْفَعُ النَّاسُ إِلَيْهِ فِيهَا أَبْصَارَهُمْ. The people, they lift their eyes at him, meaning they look at him in astonishment. Has it ever happened that somebody is taking away something from you by force? And you're just staring at them like, seriously? You're going to take my jewelry away from me at gunpoint? What kind of a person are you? People are staring at him in shock. حِينَ يَنْتَبُهَا, at the time when he is plundering. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِن, and he is a believer. Meaning his iman at that time departs. Which iman is this? In the general sense? No, in the specific sense. Meaning he is not at that high level of faith. So there are two usages of iman. And it's very important for us to understand. Because even when we read the Quran, and we say, oh, but this is expected of alladhina amanu, so that means if a person is not doing this, they're not a believer. They're committing kufr. They're exiting the folds of Islam. وَنَقُولُ, and we say, meaning the Ahlus Sunnah say, هُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, he is a believer, but نَاقِصُ الْإِيمَانِ, deficient in faith. Because iman increases and decreases. So when he's committing the sin, even though it's a major sin, what happened to his iman? It became deficient. نَاقِصُ الْإِيمَانِ. Or we say about such a person, that he is مُؤْمِنٌ بِإِيمَانِهِ. He is a believer according to the level of his faith. Right? Meaning his faith is low, his iman is low, so his being a mu'min is also weak. Or we say he is fasiqun bikabiratihi. He's a fasiq, he's sinful. Why? Bikabiratihi, because of his kabira sin, because of his major sin. فَلَا يُعْطَى, then he is not given al-ism al-mutlaq, the name, meaning the term al-mutlaq, in the absolute sense. Meaning he's not called a perfect believer. وَلَا يُسْلَبُ, nor is it taken away, nor is it removed. Mutlaq, absolute terms, al-ismi, the term. Meaning, neither is the term applied to him in absolute terms, nor is it taken away from him in absolute terms. Meaning, we don't say, oh, he's a perfect believer even though he's committing a sin. Nor do we say, oh, his iman is cancelled because he has committed a sin. Clear? So what is the way of Ahlus Sunnah? Of moderation. Again. Right? So, when a person commits a sin, what is his status? If he says he's a believer, he will be considered a believer. However, sinful. However, low level of faith. What did the Khawarij say? That he becomes a kafir. What did the Murji'ah say? That he has perfect faith. He has perfect faith. The iman of Iblis is the same as iman of Abu Bakr. This is basically what they're saying. Right? That the iman of the person who's a serial killer is the same as a person who performs 5 prayers in the masjid. This is what they implied. Because they said, iman is just tasdeeq. Look, Iblis, he calls Allah Ya Rabbi. He acknowledges that Allah is his Rabb. He is a believer. You understand the problem over here? This is what the Murji'ah said. And the Mu'tazila, what did they say? Neither mu'min nor kafir. They innovated something. Ahlul Sunnah say, no, he is a believer, but he is sinful. Why? Because he's committed a sin. And you know what? Allah can forgive sins too. So just because he's committed a sin, we don't say, out of Islam. No, we show him the door to tawbah so that he can repent. Because وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ He is the one who accepts repentance from his servants. Allah forgives sins despite our zulm. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَذُو مَغْفِرَةٍ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى ظُلْمِهِمْ Despite their wrongdoing. He forgives sins. Even if they're as big as a mountain. In a hadith in Sahih Muslim, we learned that some Muslims will come on the Day of Judgment with sins like mountains, and Allah will forgive them. Allah will forgive them. And whatever the sin, remember, it can be forgiven. If a person repents to Allah. This hadith that is mentioned over here, that a zani does not remain a believer when he's committing zina, this hadith is in Bukhari. And at the end of the hadith, it says, وَالتَّوْبَةُ مَعْرُوضَةٌ بَعْدُ Yet the gate of repentance is open thereafter. He's committing a major sin. However, the door of tawbah is open for him, meaning he can repent. This is why the prostitute who gave water to the thirsty dog, was she not forgiven? She was forgiven. Once a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, that what do you say about a man who has committed every sin possible, who has not left any sin? What do you say about him? Is there any tawbah for him? The Prophet ﷺ said, have you accepted Islam? He said, yes, as for me, I testify. No God worthy of worship but Allah, and that you are the messenger of Allah. ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, do good deeds and leave your sins, and Allah will convert all your sins into good deeds. He said, what? Even my treacheries and my sins? He said, yes. So the man, he was so amazed, he said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And he kept saying that and he went away. Even a person who commits a major sin and he ends up in hellfire for his sin, but he had iman, will he be eventually taken out from hell? Yes. The Prophet ﷺ said, شَفَاعَتِي لِأَهْلِ الْكَبَائِرِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي My shafa'a is for the Ahlul Kabair, those who commit major sins from my ummah. So what should we do? If a sin has been committed, don't despair. If someone has committed a sin, don't show them the door to despair. Show them the door to repentance and seeking forgiveness. رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي فَغْفِرْ لِي اللَّهُمَ اغْفِرْ لِي ذَنْبِي رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي ذَنْبِي After adhan, seek forgiveness. How? By responding to the adhan and saying, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولًا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا And a person who says that, then his sins are forgiven. On getting up from ruku', when the imam says, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ What should the ma'moom say? Allahumma rabbana lakal hamd. And if his saying Allahumma rabbana lakal hamd coincides with that of the angels, then what will happen? His sins, all his past sins are forgiven. Tasbihat after salah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. They are also a means of forgiveness. Saying subhanallah wa bihamdi 100 times, what are they? Means of forgiveness. Tasbih at bedtime also, in bed. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر Saying this in bed is also a cause of earning forgiveness. And all of these du'as, especially this one, is in the app that is free to download. Sone Jagne Ke Adab, the etiquette of sleeping and waking up. So use these du'as. Even when a person wears new clothes and he says, Alhamdulillah alladhi kasani hadha thawba wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwa. The Prophet ﷺ said, his past and future sins will be forgiven. Hadith in Abu Dawood. After eating, if a person says, Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amani hadha wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwa, then again, his past sins are forgiven. I mean, there's so many ways of earning forgiveness. Why should a person be damned to eternity in hellfire just because he committed a sin? Why are we so negative? we have adopted wa'idiyah, only focusing on wa'id. Whereas Allah sent prophets as both bashiran wa nadira. So warn against sin, so that a person doesn't adopt the way of the murji'ah. But at the same time, open the door to seeking forgiveness also. Show that way also. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.